I'm Martin Phipps. I'm a lawyer at San Antonio, Texas, at Phipps, Deacon, and Anderson. And what I do is I represent farmers, mostly against big chemical companies. And, you know, in this Syngenta litigation, I'm representing farmers against Syngenta for the market loss damages caused by the depression in the corn price, and for individual damages on a farm level basis if their operations changed because of the decrease in the farm and the price of corn and how that affected their operation.
The principals at Syngenta say that this suit has no merit. How do you react to that?
Well, you know, I've heard it. My response is pretty simple. The question I have for Syngenta is, why did they sell to farmers Viptera in 2010 when it wasn't approved by China? And just recently, Syngenta had a filing, and I may be wrong, but if my memory serves me correctly, that said that they didn't ask China for approval until March of 2010. Well, you know, as you know, farmers make their paying decisions before that. So I have a real simple question. Why did they sell something that China hadn't approved and put it in the marketplace? And just so you're aware, I'm in March of 2010, I was in Augusta, Arkansas, trying the cases against Bayer, who said the same thing. And, you know, they lost that. My jury verdict came out, and you know, it was noticed at Syngenta that maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't be putting things in the marketplace, because in the Bayer Rice case, as you know, we lost the European market for long grain rice, and we still haven't gotten it back. So Syngenta was clearly aware of the possible harm that could occur if they put something in the marketplace when there wasn't, you know, worldwide acceptance by our trading partners.
There are ways to measure the losses in this case as far as, say, the companies that ship corn and got to China and had to turn around and come back. It's their shipping costs. It's the difference in the market that they had to sell this on the secondary market after it was rejected by China. But for the farmers, how do you determine what they lost?
Well, the farmers have two levels of loss, okay? And this is where the Bayer case is very similar, okay? But what you have right now is that when it first occurred in November of 2013, China was just rejecting some shipments. But in January of 2014, you have what's called a market shift. They just simply stopped buying our corn. Now, China has approved the tier for purchase. But as last week, I'm unaware that a single load of corn has been bought by China. So the way we look at the damage is that we lost a trading partner. We still have lost that trading partner. And so what happens is that, you know, if I'm trying to sell you a bushel of corn and you find out that I've got two bushels of corn there because I have one of my China's not buying that bushel of corn, it gives them the ability to lower the price. And so what the agriculture economists, I've got like 27 of them now that are looking at this, they're going through and saying, look, there was a market depression because we had more corn to sell. And the other issue is that China, and you know, one thing Syngenta say was China wasn't that big of an export market. Well, the problem is that China was increasing dramatically. And by the end of this decade, 2010, they were going to be our number one export market. And right now they're not buying our corn at all. So the way you measure the damage on the market loss is the experts look at that and they say, look, there was a depression in the market loss. And, you know, they have to ferret out any other issues that occur. So it's not easy, but we've already done it once. And then the question you have is that how long will the damages go on? And right now, you know, the issue for Syngenta on the damages is clearly damages from our perspective. But the problem is that they're not buying our corn back. And so the issue for Syngenta is, when is China going to come back to the table and buy our corn from our farmers, not at the rate they were, but the rate they were expected to. And so that market loss is very easily determined. And, you know, in our opinion, the damage is still continuing.
You also represented plaintiffs in the Bayer Rice case. What are the parallels?
The parallels are almost identical. The one difference is that in the Bayer Rice case, the variety that was got out was not approved for sale. So Syngenta, in this case, Viptera was approved for sale. Outside of that, there's really no difference. In fact, to be truthful with you, I think, in my humble opinion, you know, the Bayer Rice case was notice that what can happen to foreign markets when we put stuff in the marketplace that is not supposed to be there or they don't want. That's why we have the approval process. And, you know, and so one of the things you hear from Syngenta is, well, you know, China's a difficult trading partner. Well, the problem is we just found out that Syngenta didn't even apply to China, it looks like, until after they were selling Viptera. So, you know, the cases are very similar. I really at a loss as to why Syngenta put Viptera in the marketplace without approval from China. And so, I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing Syngenta's response to that.
I want to talk about the nature of the case itself. There is a class action suit. Now, there are different classes of plaintiffs. Could you explain that?
Well, you know, it's not a class action yet, okay? So you have some lawyers who believe a class action is the better way. And a class is where I represent only you or a couple, you and maybe one of your friends, and the court says the damages are so similar that I represent everybody. There are some lawyers who believe that. I do not. What I believe is the same as the Rice case is that every single farmer has his or her own individual damages, and it cannot be a class. So right now, the cases are consolidated in front of Judge Lundstrom in Kansas City, Kansas. What that means is that there were cases filed over the United States, and to make it more efficient, they're assigned to one federal judge. So he, or in this case, he can oversee the litigation to make sure it's more efficient. But we have hearings coming up at the end of this month where the judge may make a decision that farmers can sue in certain state courts instead of being in federal courts. And, you know, that's something that in the Bear Life litigation, Arkansas State Court was one of the places that you could sue. So those are issues that are still being worked out at the court. But whether the case is a class action, where a lawyer represents a few people but says the damages are similar to everybody, or whether it's a mass action where it's individual cases by every single farmer, that decision will probably be made sometime in the next year or two.
So what's the timetable, do you think, for getting this settled?
Settled, that's going to be in Syngenta's decision to be made. You know, I think what we need to do is Syngenta believes they've done nothing wrong. I look forward to having a jury trial, you know, hopefully by the end of next year, maybe the beginning of 2017 is when the first trials will go. And I look forward to that. And then we'll let the 12 members of the jury make a, you know, they'll determine what they think, who's responsible. So I think that you're looking at, you know, 2017 when the first trials will be going forward.
So this will grind pretty slowly, then, the way it sounds.
Well, you know, you know, I guess when you're a lawyer, you get used to that. I mean, I wish we could go faster than that, but you know, when you're in litigation with a big company, one of the tactics that they use is to go slow because it's expensive. It also wears on, you know, farmers, and you know farmers got it's hard on them. They don't like litigation. I'm a lawyer. I don't like litigation. But the problem is that, you know, it's just part of the legal process we have here. So, you know, in the Rice case, it started in 2006. The first trials were in 9 and 10. So in this case, which is much, much bigger, we're working very hard to try to get it done, you know, as quickly as we can. But it just takes time to do it.
For someone who grows corn and thinks they have been harmed by this, what is your advice to them?
My advice to them is, in my personal, I'll tell you what I tell, I represent thousands of farmers all over the Midwest and the South. I tell them that, you know, the problem you have is that I'm all for new technology. We need it. It is better for our farmers. The worldwide competition is getting stiff, you know, getting worse with South America and countries we have to compete with. And so, you know, they need to think about that. But that being said, I tell everyone, file, you know, if it's not me, find a lawyer you trust and put your stake in the ground and see, you know, because if you do that, you're doing two things. One, you're telling Syngenta and the other companies, hey, if you're going to do a job, do it right. That's what we do, you know. That's number one. But number two is put a stake in the ground so that if there is a settlement, you know, they can choose if there's a class action settlement where they have to do very little work, they can take that money okay? But if they have an individual case that's also filed, what we do is they have an individual damage model just for them. And so I think that that gives them an option, you know? And you need to put your stake in the ground, you know, and so that you're protected. And, you know, and I tell my farmers, you know, you guys make your own decisions on your farm every day. You know, litigation is no different. So, you know, do something, because it also sends a message to the chemical companies, hey, man, we need your products, but when you don't do it right, you know, you got to take care of it. And, you know, Syngenta is denying liability. That's exactly what Bayer did. They never admitted liability, even after they paid the farmer $750 million. So this is not surprising to me.
Do you have anything to add to this?
No, I just think that I know that, you know, it's easy for a lawyer to say they believe in the case, but I do believe in this case. And this is, you know, you had the Starlink issue that happened in 2000 in that time period. You have the rice that happened in 2006. And now you got this in 2014. So, you know, all those cases are very similar. And the message is real simple. Don't sell something in the marketplace until you have acceptance. And what I'm seeing is that they're changing the stewardship agreements to put the burden on the farmer. So he or she agrees not to sell it to a market that doesn't accept it. And I'm very concerned that that is not something farmers are equipped to do. And, you know, so I hope the farmers, the people who listen to this, you know, think about it. And if they have any questions, just to let us know.